good morning, everyone. This is Scott Pinzon, and I probably should start in my rehearsals of this presentation. It was 50 minutes long, so hopefully we'll have time for some interaction and questions. The purpose of this meeting is to let you know about proposed enhancements to the GNSO website. So this is material that was prepared by members of the Operational Steering Committee's Communication Coordination Team. So we wanted to let you know what we're up to. And principally, Ken Bauer, Chris Chaplow, and myself are the architects behind the ideas you'll see this morning. Thanks for joining us. Our agenda this morning is fairly simple. We want to explain the reasoning and the foundation behind the changes we propose to gnso.icann.org. Then we'll actually show you what we intend to do, and then we would love to get guidance from you both now and perhaps in more detail afterwards, and so I'll show you where to interact with us so we can hear your perspectives on these matters. So a quick reminder, what are we doing here? Part of the GNSO improvements process was to make communications better across the GNSO and across ICANN. And one of the sub-tasks on that was that we were asked to make the GNSO website more usable. But that's about all the guidance that was given. What does more usable mean? And what, you know, what tasks should be simpler to do? And who should be able to do them more simply? So there was a lot left to the Communications Coordination Team, or CCT, to decide on its own. So today what you'll see is work product of the CCT. Like a lot of work teams, they subdivided to have different people address different tasks related to communications. But what you see here today is primarily the work of Chris Chaplow from the business constituency, Steve Holston, who represents the registries, and, of course, Mason Cole, the chair of the team, oversaw it all. And then Zabinek was actually assigned to a different task, but he provided some substantive ideas about how to handle the site for non-English users. And so even though you're hearing a member of the ICANN staff talk about all this, this is very much a team product. In fact, I want to take a moment to nominate Chris Chaplow as our most valuable player. He gave up days and days of time, a lot of expertise, and even donated some computer code you'll be seeing later. So I just want to say, if you're forming a working team, see if you can get Chris on it. All right. So who should this be more usable to? Well, obviously it should be participants in the GNSO. The problem is we didn't have any information on what GNSO users wished the site could do better. ICANN, lacking a marketing department, doesn't typically track that type of thing. So we decided that we would ask GNSO users in interviews what they wanted. So that started a big process in August where we started looking for who can we ask about this. So we got names from Glenn, your beloved secretariat. Names were offered from the CCT itself of people they thought should be interviewed, and then we put notices out in some of the constituency lists, and we also got volunteers from the business constituency. In all, we had 24 names floated as people who probably should be talked to, but because we had to do this in August in order to show progress by Seoul, a lot of folks were on vacation, so I wound up actually interviewing 8 people that we considered GNSO power users. So here is the list of who is involved. And it's actually fairly diverse, and you probably shall recognize a number of those names. You might also notice that if we look at them by role, somehow an ALAC person snuck in there. Well, they didn't sneak in at all. Desi Grava is actually the person who helped the very successful redesign of the ALAC website. So we actually asked her to please come take a look at what was going on. Got some very useful insights from her as a web developer. And also 2 of the people in this group are not speaking English as their first language. So again, we tried to keep in mind a global audience, and we got some insights on how to handle language from them. And finally, this is all backed up by 230 ICANN.org users. I rather jokingly portrayed them as faceless zombies because we don't know who they are. But in a parallel process to what we were doing, corporate affairs at ICANN had hired Revere Group to help them redesign ICANN.org. And Revere Group ran a survey on ICANN.org for a month, and this is where these 230 responses came to. And then they also interviewed 9 people in depth. So our insights on what is needed on the site are based on interviews with 230 people by survey and 17 by in-depth personal interview. So by ICANN standards, that's actually a lot of empirical data for us to form our decisions. So one of the things that we were asking these people is, when you come to gnso.icann.org, what are you trying to do? Because we want to simplify their tasks. So the number one answer turned out to be find a document. Most people agreed that that was actually rather difficult to do. But we feel that with proper redesign, we can make that task a little bit easier. The second most common answer was check the calendar. Now, some people are looking ahead to see what their meetings are coming up. Some people are looking backwards in order to find transcripts and MP3s, but there is a lot of activity around the calendaring, and we got a lot of opinions about what it should do. And then the third most common task is people are trying to find out the latest on a policy issue. It's a good, honest answer. The problem is that from a web design viewpoint, there really is no silver bullet on that because it would require a type of content that we don't now generate. There isn't really a place where you can go and just immediately get updated on a policy issue short of reading work product. But we'll show you how we hope to address that at least in part. So just to quickly review, the top three tasks that power users wanted to do in the GNSO is retrieve information, do activity related to their calendars, and then find information based on issues. And part of the request we had here was that people wanted to be able to find what they're looking for in multiple ways. So we'll speak more to that in a moment. Then as a team, we also set some goals proactively. In talking about the site with power users, it seems glaringly obvious that there are no newcomers that we interviewed in the mix, because how could we? How would we find them? And would they even care? So we had to kind of set ourselves up as advocates for people yet to arrive at the party. And the thing we realize is that if you're not already familiar with GNSO and its structures, when you first come to the site, it makes you feel like this guy. This is what you get if you go to Google Images and search on moron. And we don't want to make people feel like that. We want to make people feel like they're valued and welcomed and that we want their input. So newcomers matter to us. We did a lot to try and make the site more friendly as a way that a newcomer could still find their way into the mix. We also set a goal to sort of humanize ICANN. A lot of times we all get wrapped up in the policy process and sometimes forget that we're all just people trying to take on a challenging task and do the best we can. And so you'll see a lot of flame wars, and you'll see people getting kind of characterizing each other almost as demons or cartoons or something. So we're looking for subtle ways to just keep reminding ourselves we're just folks, we can do good policy work and still get along. And lastly, we wanted to try and break down silos. And what I mean by that is currently, if you're on the GNSO site, you can't really get to anywhere else in the ICANN universe. You can't get back to the ICANN homepage. There are no links out to ALAC or the GAC or CCNSO. So we're looking for ways to make it more an interactive, fluid kind of place. So with those goals in mind, three of us from the CCT met in Marina Del Rey for what we started calling the Design Scrum. We had defined business requirements at that point, and we had these goals that we discovered from interviewing users. So we got together, three of us, and I had just done all those interviews, so I was really filled in my mind with the things that the users had asked for, and so I was trying to figure out what is the ideal site we can offer them. Well, meanwhile, Ken Bauer had been doing a lot of tagging and researching on the 2,000 files that are on gnso.icann.org. So he was very preoccupied with trying to figure out what do we do with what's really there right now in order to make it more findable. And then Chris Chaplow, who runs Andalusia.com, is a web developer himself, and so he was able to guide us into what is feasible. A lot of times we came up with crazy ideas that would take ridiculous amounts of work to implement and probably be impossible in the end. Chris was there to keep us grounded and let us know when something would work. And so this was the approach. And we found that having these various perspectives really seemed to give us a well-rounded view on it. Now, a couple of technical things I want to note before we show you what we came up with. Some of the problems related to using gnso.icann.org exceed the scope of our group's mandate. When you start to fix a website, it quickly gets very technical. And so the first thing that was pointed out to us is that what we were there to fix was gnso.icann.org. But users have problems that extend beyond that. We get a lot of complaints about how hard it is to use the wikis. Well, guess what? They don't live on gnso.icann.org. People find the mailing list is not all they wish it could be, but it's not on gnso.icann.org. We think that there could be better collaborative tools. They don't all live on gnso.icann.org. So we're not solving every problem under the sun, unfortunately, but we are going to try and address what's on this particular domain. The other thing I should mention before we go forward is that in this process, we're changing the GNSO site from a static site to a dynamic site. And what that means is this. In a static site, you have some object. If you want it to show up again and again, it's almost like a paragraph in Word. If you want to see it again, you have to copy it and paste it and put it somewhere a second time and a third time, and however many times you want to find it, you duplicate it. That's a static site. In a dynamic site, you don't actually display the content directly on the site. The content goes into a database, and it gets tagged. It's given descriptive terms. So, for example, with this silly little Lego flower I have here, if someone were looking for yellow, they would find it. If someone were looking for flower, they would find it. If someone were looking for plant, they would find it because it's been tagged with these terms. But even though they're finding it in different places, they are not multiple copies of the content. It's all the same one little object. So you'll see how that pays off in a lot of ways as we look at the suggested redesign. So I the way my computer's set up, I cannot see the chat or the questions that are going on, so I thought I would take a moment here to ask if there are any questions on the foundations of what we're doing. Hearing none, I will proceed. Keep this in mind. What do these three things have in common? Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, the perfect website. They don't exist. So there definitely can be refinements to what we're doing. That's part of why we're talking to you. We'll show you what we have in mind, and hopefully you'll give us guidance on what you think would make it even better.
Hey, Scott, I like how on this presentation you've got a laugh track behind you. That's really good.
Thank you. I'm waiting for the riotous applause button, too, but I can't find it.
People are politely on mute, I think.
This rather unattractive group of columns was our first draft as we started looking at what was currently on gnso.icann.org. Now it's September when this happened. And Ken was looking at everything and trying to throw it into conceptual buckets. We were looking for affinities, because what we were trying to do is create that horizontal navigation menu that you see across the top of most websites, because GNSO.ICANN.org doesn't have that right now. So we were trying to figure out what would those tabs be. This was an early draft, and I'll show you in a moment what we came up with. First, I want to flash this on you. This is actually designs from the Revere Group as they're proceeding with their work with ICANN.org. And they have gone through quite an elaborate process, and which they're getting towards the end of. In Seoul, I believe that Kieran, the manager of public participation, will be showing you some of these designs proposed for ICANN.org. The reason I'm giving you a glimpse of it right now is to let you know I'm not showing you anything that cool today. What I'm showing you is what in web development language they call wireframes, and these are basically just placeholders for how the site could be structured. We haven't gone to this detailed level yet because we want to get your input about our design direction before we finish it out with colors and fonts and all that kind of fancy stuff. So you may have to use your imagination a little bit. Instead, what we have is something like this. So this is a wireframe of the proposed home page. And I'll go through some of these features for you. Already, there are some things that are new. If you look up on the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little box labeled Advanced Search. One of the first things we noticed about GNSO.ICANN.org is there's no search box on it. So no wonder it's difficult for people to find documents. In our proposed redesign, there would be search on every page. Right below that, you'll see an idea we came up with called Acronym Helper. And I'm hoping Connect will let me do this. I'm going to fill out a PowerPoint for a moment to show you what Acronym Helper is. We actually were asked by some of the power users, one of them had this dream that any time an acronym showed up in a document, wouldn't it be great if you could hover your mouse over it and it would spell out what it stands for? That's a little too burdensome to implement because so many documents come from so many sources, all the different working groups, all the different minutes, all the email, it couldn't be done. But what we tried to make instead, can people see my web browser?
Yes.
Good. This is some of the stuff that Chris Chaplow's team actually made for us. And it's this simple. This acronym helper would be on every page up in the corner. And if you see an acronym you can't remember what it is, you just start typing. And it starts presenting all the spelled out acronyms. And the more you type, the more it reduces the number of choices until you see the acronym that you want. So one of the common things we've had is people sometimes forget the distinction between the IRTP and the IRT. You could quickly look here and just that rapidly, it would remind you what each of these is. One of the things I like about this is it's very small and nimble. There have been other attempts to help with acronyms around ICANN, but they quickly get weighted down under the burden of maintaining them. So for a while we said, yeah, wouldn't it be cool if it not only had the acronym, but then it also told you what it means. And we actually backed off of that because it would be very difficult to maintain it and soon no one would have time for it and the thing would sink. This way it's just a quick little text file and we could maintain it. In fact, we could translate it and this thing could be kept up in at least the five UN languages or wherever appropriate. And thus, after each international meeting, when we've generated probably 20 or 40 new acronyms, we could enter them, and this thing would actually be useful. So that's the vision with Acronym Helper. So again, that would be up in every corner of the page in case you need a reminder. Now, looking at this home page itself, a couple features to go over quickly. The labeling that you're seeing is not literal down here in the home page. It is meant simply to convey to you the type of content that would be there. So, for example, this box that says what's hot would not say what's hot. It's just there to let you know that we have an area where things could be put in the spotlight. So I would say that right now what's hot is the affirmation of commitment activities, and so you could put the document right there so that as soon as you came to the home page, you get a little explanatory text and get right to it. That's just an example. Whatever's going on that we want to spotlight could be in this box on the home page. In contrast, we have this thing that I've called highlights, and the difference between what's hot and highlights is what's hot would be reactive. In other words, it's something that's going on in the community that we know people are interested in. The highlights would be forward-looking. In other words, it would be a place you could announce things that are yet to come. Perhaps when Seoul was first decided upon and the dates were given, you could have put it there. Or if you have an important call for volunteers or, you know, anything you want that's forward-looking could be there. And then we have another box to the side for similar stuff. The other big thing you see here is, boom, calendar right on the home page, which is not there now. Now, the particular calendar we're showing, Cheryl will certainly recognize, we stole it from At Large. It's just meant as a placeholder. We don't know for sure that Google Calendar is the application we would use, but what we turned in is a functional specification of what this calendar should do. And I can go into more depth on that at a time when we don't have so much ground to cover. But the big thing I'll point out is that what ALAC can do is that their calendar aggregates the calendars of all kinds of different groups and subgroups, and then by clicking you can filter it. So if you want to see what the entire GNSO is doing, you could get an impression. If you are a member of a certain group or of the council and you just want to see what they're doing, you can click a button and filter the results and just see that. Over to the side, you see this little thing that says, what is GNSO? This is our olive branch to newcomers. People arrive and they don't even know what GNSO stands for, which actually is not easy to find on the current site. This little box would have links to some explanatory text of what GNSO's mission is. There should be a link to a glossary here, and then a link to how the policy development process works. So from the start, people who don't really have an orientation can find their way through it. Next thing I'd like to do is do a quick overview of the tabs extending across the page, and then each one of them has its own landing page, which I hope to show you. So the convention we use is when you see something in red here, that means that's the page you're on. So this is the home page since it's red. The next tab over we called About. This is actually something of a convention used in the World Wide Web. If you go to a normal business site, you'll see an About Us tab, and if you click it, you usually get the history of the company and a look at who the management is and that kind of thing. And we're doing something similar. This is meta information where the GNSO describes itself. It's not where any policy work happens. It's just a way to find out who you're dealing with. The next tab we called Ongoing Work. This is essentially the Issues page. If you want to look something up by topic, you would click that tab. Next tab over we call Library. I will show it to you in a moment. But there are a lot of documents that people look up by their type. So if you want minutes, if you want a resolution, if you want email archive, you know, any kind of document by type, you would go to the library. Next tab is we called Group Activities. This will be a front end to actually doing the work. If you're in a subgroup, we covered everyone from the council on down to the newest, smallest little drafting team. You should find a home under the Group Activities tab. The next one over is something brand new and is actually rather forward-looking. We named it Basics. And the idea here is there are a lot of issues in GNSO that are quite complicated. And, again, for a newcomer, there's not really a way to get up to speed. So we often have explanatory workshops, and we have webcasts and audio briefings and things that are specifically made to help a person who has no background in a given issue learn about it. But you can't really find that stuff very readily on the page right now. So this would be a way to aggregate specifically content that is introductory and helps you get background on a particular issue. And I'll show you more on that as we go along. And then the last tab is news, somewhat self-explanatory there, but one new feature that would be under it are RSS feeds, which was a big request of the people we interviewed. And so we'll get more into that shortly. So that's the home page. So let's pretend for a moment that we clicked on About. So here's the wireframe for this. And again, this is really for newcomers. Yes?
I wonder if you might just address, just briefly, this is Ken, the login thing at the top.
Yes, thank you for the reminder, Ken. This is largely a placeholder right now. There is some talk going on ICANN.org about adding customization capabilities if a person had a login. And this would be things like being able to move boxes around on the page so that it's set up the way you like it, maybe set your calendar view, and then we needed a mechanism possibly for the site to remember that that's the way you like it. So if you had a login, then it could associate those attributes with you, and when you log in, it would redistribute the site to show your preferences. There are some other aspects of that, too, but right now it's being deferred. So we have it there largely as a placeholder in case ICANN winds up doing things that where it would be beneficial to have a login. And, Ken, thanks for directing my attention up there. I should have mentioned what these little, what look like stripes are under the word login. That, again, is a little placeholder, and those are meant to be language boxes. So in each of those little boxes, imagine the two-letter UN code for the different languages, such as FR for French and RU for Russia. And the idea here is that when you come to the page, if portions of it or if the page itself has been translated into your language, the button for your language becomes active, and you can click on it, and you can see the page in your own language. If we haven't quite gotten to that page yet, then the button for your language is grayed out. And even though that's bad news, at least it would save you the burden of rummaging all around in there trying to see if there's anything translated for you. So that is something that we also envision being on each page. Now back to the topic of About. We have a placeholder in the center for basic text about what is the GNSO and its mission and scope. One of the things we would like input on, though, is that we're suggesting that there be videos available on this page. And as you can see, we've suggested a few of them. Now, these are, in our mind, meant to be kind of teaser material. And part of what we're trying to address is the sense we hear from GNSO participants that they're tired. And what we've referred to as volunteer exhaustion. We're trying to make GNSO much more appealing to newcomers. And the thought here is that these videos are only a minute and a half, 2 minutes each. And this would be a quick one on what are the current issues. What are we addressing right now? Just a few highlights, enough to pique people's interest and let them know, wow, this is fascinating stuff that they work on. This one that we've labeled GNSO Community Values, the thought was that you take these buzzwords we throw around with abandon and actually take a minute to go, wait, what is bottom-up? What do we mean by consensus? What is multi-stakeholder? And just quickly get them oriented to the way that we do business. We're also suggesting one on how does the policy development process work, Now, it would be very high level, obviously. You know, to try and explain the PDP in 2 minutes is pretty daunting. But I remember growing up as a kid watching a minute-long cartoon on how a bill becomes a law in the United States. So it can be done. And we will do it if you want us to. And this last one I have in the corner says, why is it important? Again, placeholder title, it could be called something, why does the GNSO matter? But its real intent is a recruitment video, and the thought would be just an explicit invitation to newcomers to join in and start participating, volunteer for a working group, and get in the mix. And then one other placeholder that we have here, again, if people want it, whoever the chairperson of the GNSO becomes in Seoul, it would be great if they had a little video up here, just a little talking head thing where they welcome a newcomer to the GNSO, talk a little bit about how to get involved or really whatever's on the mind of the new chairperson. So the thought here is you come to the About page and you would see these thumbnails of questions that would very much be on a newcomer's mind. See, we've also got a little placeholder just to put some basic facts about the GNSO, how long they've been around, some of the policy accomplishments. Again, very much oriented towards the outsider. I did not put this slide in because I want to make sure I fit everything within the time given, but if you click on the Who is the GNSO items, you can actually see pictures and names of the council members, the executive committees of the stakeholder groups, the chairs of the constituencies, so you can quickly start finding out who's who and maybe even recognize them if you attend your first international meeting. So that is the general idea of the About page. Moving on to ongoing work now, which is what we think of as kind of the issues page. We intentionally drew a division between the activity that actually affects internet policy and then what we just called other work here is the activity the GNSO does, keeping its work on how the GNSO governs itself. So GNSO improvements, for example, would fall under that. Geographic regions, travel policy, examples of things that don't actually affect the internet, but affect how we interact with each other in the GNSO. Then over on the left, it would just be a list of the current policy activities. Now, one of the problems that we ran into is trying to characterize when an issue is done. You know, when is something completed? It reminds me of some of these monster movies that came out, you know, where you think that the evil monster has been slain and they roll the ending credits and then right before you go home there's a shot of a grave and a claw pops up and you realize, oh, Freddy's going to come back. Some of our issues tend to have that nature. So we have an area that we just call archives. So things that we think are done, that may not be the most current issue, you can find them in the archive. And you'll see, because of this idea of the website now being dynamic, things that you'll find here, you'll also be able to find in the library. You'll also be able to link to them through group activities. This criteria of having things be found from multiple angles really plays well with this dynamic display that I spoke of. So let's pretend that you clicked on one of these policies. I'm going to use post-expiration domain name recovery as an example. You would then get a page devoted to that particular issue. And a number of things going on here. So you still got advanced search, still got the acronym helper, still got the language cues. But one thing that's new now is you're going deeper as you start getting what they call a breadcrumb path. It's probably named after Hansel and Gretel, who left breadcrumbs as they went through the forest in hopes that they could find their way back. Right now, if you get navigating down into the GNSO site and you are not where you want to be, there's no way to back out except to hit your back button 6 times or whatever. And users find that annoying. With the breadcrumbs, no matter how deep you go, it's building the path. And if you realize, no, you know, the thing I wanted was 3 pages back, you can just click on it and in 1 step, you're 3 pages back. So nice little additional feature. May not look exactly like this, but the functionality will be available on the redesigned site. So, okay, overall, issues page, the stuff that you're used to seeing tied to issues, agreements, presentations, reports, whatever there is. But here's something new that people asked for. We're suggesting there be a little box on the side that tells you what staff personnel are closely tied with that issue, so that as you're doing your work, you know who to relate to. Also tied to the issue over here on the other side, if there's a group that is working on that issue, you can immediately get to their area and their wiki and their mailing list. I told you before that we envision this basics area. If you get here and you find you just don't understand any of the stuff that you're reading because you lack context, there will be a little click to explanatory basics related to this particular issue. So the idea here is to assemble resources that would be really helpful when you're simply doing issues-driven work. Before I go to the next tab, I want to point out that we tend to use data in multiple ways. And I don't mean multiple people use it in multiple ways. I mean each of us as individuals need data in different ways at different times. So a lot of times we're looking up something based on what it means. If you're not sure what DNSSEC is, you're looking up documents about DNSSEC for their meaning. But in ICANN work, a lot of times you want a document not so much for what it means as for what it is. There are times when you simply need to get the resolutions because they are resolutions. You may not even know what is in them. It's just your job to find the resolutions or to read the minutes or whatever type of document. So some things are sliced on what they are instead of what they're about. And then a third way that we sometimes use data is not by what it is, but when it is. So, for example, if you turn on CNN or you go to CNN.com, usually you're going there without knowing what you're going to find. You're going there because it is the latest. It could be sports news. It could be entertainment news. It could be that there was a big tsunami somewhere. You don't know, but you know it will be the latest, so you're going there based on the timing of the data. So with that in mind, our library page is oriented by not what things mean, but by what they are. And as we worked on this, we jokingly talked about the isness of a document. What is it? So in the suggested library page, you'll see down the side these types of documents, agreements, bylaws, charters, contracts, and so on. And you can search that way, too. Now, bearing in mind, again, that there is no search capability on the GNSO site today, we think this will be a very welcome improvement since the number one thing people do on the site is look for documents. We're proposing that there be an advanced search box right on the landing page of the library. It wouldn't necessarily look just like this. It would be like the one that Google uses. But we have some filtering capabilities here that we think could be very useful. When we were interviewing people, one of the complaints that we got was, if you want to know the latest about post-expiration domain name recovery and you search from the ICANN site, it coughs up everything that mentions PEDNR, using its initials. And the frustration for some people was that if they're looking for something that is decisive or that was resolved, they have to wade through this avalanche of returns where the phrase was mentioned in a transcript during a conversation or came up as a side note in an email. Well, with these filtering buttons, if you know that the phrase you're looking for was in a resolution, you could click resolution, do your search, and it wouldn't present you with all the occurrences of the string and all these other types of documents. You would just get meaningful results for you. We also have suggested this little exclude button, so you could do it the other way around. If you don't know where it was you saw it, but you know it was not in an email, you could click in exclude and click mailing lists and do your search, and you won't be bothered with getting it every time Joe or Murphy mentioned it in an email. So that is the advanced search capability. We think it would actually be difficult to find documents by navigating to them, so we would really encourage people to use this search function instead. Now, some other things that are possible as we're switching to a dynamic style instead of static is that boxes can auto-populate. So we've suggested over on the side here that the site can keep track of what documents are being searched for the most and actually maintain a running list of what the top 10 most accessed documents are. So if you come in here to look for something and it's something that everyone's talking about or one of the groups is working on quite heavily, there's a chance you won't have to search at all. Glance at the 10 links here and it may already be there for you. In a similar fashion, you could do things like as documents are added to the site, this could be a running list of what are the most recently added documents. So again, you may not have to search at all. If there's something you know it's brand new, you've been waiting for them to post it, you land on the library landing page, and it might already be down in that box for you. So those are our ideas for document finding. Moving on to the group activities page now, this is actually meant to be the place where groups can get some work done. So where, for example, the About page was very much oriented towards newcomers and outsiders and people that could use explanation, this now is meant to be kind of an insider page. It's for active participants. And again, some issues here we would love your input on. One of the things that we were trying to do is bring the pleasantness back to policy work. So we were looking for ways to not make the process so grim. You know, when we get together at these meetings, I find that folks are very social and convivial and they seem to enjoy being together. And then when we all retreat back to our email lists, somehow that tone disappears and it sometimes gets tense. So we're trying to look for ways to keep a positive light on the policy work. And one of the things that we suggest is this box we've labeled publications and milestones. This would simply be when your working group has actually turned out a report or you hit one of the milestones in your charter or you've successfully concluded, whatever, there could be a little note put here that just basically says, way to go, you did something. And it's a way to keep a running list of GNSO accomplishments. We sometimes feel like things are getting rather bogged down. This is a way to show that, nope, things are getting done, and we're moving through the process. Along the same lines, up in this corner, we have a place where it could just be showing photos from the meetings. It's really easy using dynamic web technology now to have something like a slideshow going where there's a photo in the corner and every however many seconds you want, say 5 seconds, it updates to another photo. And you can either cycle through a set list of them or turn it to a site like Flickr where there are about 1,000 ICANN photos and just let it display them one by one. So, again, just a way to show there's people at work here and a way to humanize ICANN. And my final note on that is we have a box here we've called Human Stuff, and we're interested in seeing if GNSO community would like to populate that. And the thought here is every place that I have ever worked, there's a bulletin board in the lunchroom, and it has notices of things that are off-topic from whatever the company is supposed to be doing. But it's how you let your coworkers know, hey, I ran a triathlon and I actually finished third, or I just had a new grandchild, or you know, those kinds of things that we sometimes like our coworkers to know. The thought was that on the GNSO's group activity landing page, maybe it would be useful to have that kind of bulletin board material where we just let our colleagues know about things that are happening that we're proud of or happy about that may not necessarily tie to policy. So be interested to know if people think that is a useful thing to do if they want to do it. In the interest of time, I think I'll move down a level. Let's pretend that you are a member of the GNSO Council, so you click the Council tab. This is the kind of thing you would see. Note the breadcrumbs begin. Right now, there is no place on the GNSO site that actually gathers together resources a counselor might need. And it is our intent to ask the counselors what they wish were on this page, but we have suggested some possibilities. So you may have a box that has the upcoming agendas, resolutions, pending actions. We've got all this stuff, but these boxes are different than the placeholders I've shown you so far in what they indicate. You see they have that little more button down there, and the thought is that these boxes would never get more than three or four links long because of something else we discovered in the interviewing, and that's that GNSO users really hate to scroll. Most of them are accessing the site on a laptop, and currently, to get to the bottom of a page, it might sometimes take five screens full before you get at the bottom, and that turns out to be something of great annoyance to many of the users. So this whole design was made to minimize scrolling, and some of them I asked explicitly, if it takes more clicks to go deeper, would you prefer that to scrolling? And the answer was always an emphatic yes. So the thought here is, there are only three or four of the last agendas listed, because if you don't want agendas, what you really want is minutes. If you had to scroll past every resolution that the council has ever made, it would take you those five screens full. But here, you would have the latest few. If you need more, you click more. If you don't want that, it's easy to get to the things lower on the page. The other interesting possibility here is that these boxes could be promotable. In other words, some sites have a little click box over here with an up arrow and a down arrow. And, for example, if what you really use the most is minutes, you could click minutes, and the box would actually promote itself to be above pending actions. You click it again, it would be above resolutions. So you could reorient these to some extent, and then if we don't have login working, then we would use cookies so that the site would remember. And if you access the site again from the same computer, these boxes would be in the order that you prefer them. Other things that we gather on this page are calendar again. Our thought is that this would be the calendar for that particular working group as opposed to the one on the GNSO homepage that shows everybody's events. And then over on the left, we've got group links to the group's wiki page, to their mailing list archive, anything else that would be relevant. You wouldn't for a council, but perhaps for other groups you would have a charter, for example. So let's pretend that you did click on one of these active groups. First thing you would see is a list of all the working groups that are active right now. And again, startlingly, that's not really possible on the current GNSO site. You can kind of get it by going to see all the mailing lists, but that is a very unintuitive way to find a list of what teams are active right now.
I interrupt for 1 second? This is Steve. We've got about 10 minutes left. Do you want to give folks an opportunity to comment on that which they've seen already? I'm just afraid that we're going to run out of time if they don't have a few minutes to give their input or feedback.
That is a very helpful suggestion. Let's go that route right now. What do you think of what you've seen so far? Would you like to comment?
This is Chuck Gomes, Scott. I'm liking it. I compliment you guys on the work you've done. It's a desperate need in the GNSO, and this has huge potential to making the website workable. I'm, as you know, a long-time user, and I have trouble using the GNSO site almost daily. So this is great.
Thank you,
Chuck. Any particular suggestions Is there anything you'd like to see differently other than just a general like what you see?
Well, you know, as I'm going through, it's interesting, Steve. As I would come up with things I'd like to see different, as Scott would go on, I would see you've covered that. So far, you've done a pretty good job of covering the things that I would think of on earlier slides. So I don't yet. I will keep watching the progress because, but so far I really don't.
Chuck, I would be curious to know what you make of this idea of what I call the human stuff, of having a column where people can talk about things that are a little bit off topic. What do you think of that notion?
I think there are a lot of people in the community that would really like that. There are often complaints that there's not an opportunity to do that, and that would provide a forum for that. Now, one of the concerns would be, okay, if they talk about it, are there expectations that something would happen about it? We might want to be clear in setting proper expectations in that regard.
Oh, yeah, that if you post that it's your birthday, we may not send a gift.
Okay, that's right.
I would imagine that this would be moderated, at least lightly, perhaps by the Secretariat. It's something we would need to work out, but we can if people decide this is a desirable feature.
One thing, with regard to library, I now understand that first time through, that's probably not going to be as clear to people as what that is. Once I understood what library was, it's a great link, so it needs to be there. Whether or not there's a better term or maybe an explanation somewhere, that might be helpful.
Yes, we would be very eager to hear. As we got into this labeling process, it quickly became difficult because you can think of drawbacks to almost every term. So we're eager to hear input on
and for basics, maybe something, a little note that says especially for newcomers or something, because it might not be obvious what it's basics about, but again, I'm
we struggled with that one, Chuck. It's not clear whether even when you go from the drop downs or the top nav, you go from left to right, from more basic to more in depth. I think Scott made a good point, which was make those going from left to right the ones that are most used by people. So if you most often would click on ongoing work, then make that one a more prominent one than something further over.
Now, there are few enough of them that it probably isn't too significant in terms of the order. One more point, and then I'll stop because I don't want to monopolize this short time we have for discussion. When I saw ongoing work, and then I didn't know where to find. Okay, what about past work, which is often something I do, want to go back and find something. And once Scott explained that was in library, I was happy. But again, that goes back to what I was saying about the term library and so forth. But let me be quiet and let somebody else talk.
We also have, remember, there's an archive area in ongoing work. And similarly, under group activities, there's an area for inactive groups. So there are multiple ways into the older documents. At least that's the vision.
Yeah, no, and that's great. It is just nice from that top set of menus to know to quickly go to a place where, for example, I could find older documents. So that's great without scrolling through a couple places. I'm looking for an old document right off. Well, now I know it's library if it stays that way or something, and so I would be okay. But somebody new might be. Sorry, Steve.
Okay, when you're presenting this, Sydney, if you're showing this off, I would recommend instead of showing what it's not, like the ICANN page, that you show what it used to be, the flat GNSO page, the kind of before and after slide.
That's a great idea.
Mm.
Great. Now I got more work to do. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
And job security, Scott.
All right. I do want to make sure that I mention here opportunities to give us more input. This is your design scrum team. I mentioned Chris Chaplow. That's Ken Bauer in the middle, and I'm on the right. Ken and I will be available in Seoul. We plan to spend our lunch hours at the ICANN booth in the reception lobby. We hope to have a laptop armed with this presentation and some clickable interactive stuff that you can talk with us in more depth if you'd like, or send people by that you think should hear about this. I'd also be eager to get your comments by email. You see my address there at the bottom, scott.pinzon@icann.org. So if you have thoughts, we definitely want to get your input to make sure we make a site that is incredibly helpful to you. So I wanted to make sure I got that in. We have 3 minutes left. I'd be happy to discuss anything anybody wants.
Sorry to jump in again, but if you could, if you or Mason, as chair of the working team, could send some information about the event where this can be viewed in Seoul, I would really like all of the Operation Steering Committee members to be aware of this, because obviously the recommendations flow from the OSC to the council. So if you could do that, or ask Mason to do it, that would be great.
Chuck, now you can see why on the registry constituency call I suggested that 5 or 10 minutes wasn't quite enough to actually see the site.
5 or 10 minutes? I thought we were allowing 30 minutes.
Anyhow.
So, anyway, I've got to jump off on another call. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep.
Thank you, Chuck.
Me too. Thank you very much for the presentation, Scott, and for all the great work to you as well, Ken.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep. Thanks very much. It takes a lot to make, Cheryl here, to make me smile for almost an hour, and you well assured me of that. The only one thing was when you were looking at your video snippets, having a link out to an archive of those, because they're going to be not only potentially a knowledge management nightmare, but a very useful knowledge tool set as well. So a little cross-linking to library archive there will be very handy.
Great point. I'm writing it down. Thank you.
And the rest is in the chat box because I can't help myself.
I'll go back and look.
Thank you all.
I believe that concludes our presentation. We have recorded it, and we'll let you know where it can be seen again later.
Scott, before you actually disappear, if you've got half a moment, can you just take us into the very, or those of us left, to the, not news, but the...
Yes, the basics screen.
The basics, because it may be a nomenclature issue. I'd like to see what you think is basics as opposed to what is.
All right. As I mentioned earlier, this page is fairly forward-looking because we don't have a lot of this kind of content right now. But we certainly would take advantage of the webcast that ALAC has produced on the audio briefings as a type of the content that would go here. But the thought is that, for example, there will be a lot of discussion about who is over the next year, and it's possible that a person could come to this and really not know why who is was made or what it was for. And so if there were material recorded on just general background of who is, that's the kind of thing that would be captured here. Some of these would be articles, but not all of them. We've left a place for media files such as video and audio.
Yep.
So there's even a column here to show you running time so that you know what you're getting into before you click on something. We have a little expansion box next to where it says Issue 1, Issue 2, and the idea there is that if you really don't know what Fast Flux Hosting is, you can click on the little expansion box and get 4 sentences that just give you very quick, sketchy orientation, so you at least go, oh, this is an issue with DNS where people use it as an evasion technique. Oh, okay, I get that. And then you can decide if you need to learn more about it, if it's relevant to you or not.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's a nomenclature issue then that I had. When you go through the chat, you'll see I mentioned that maybe call out boxes to help with the definitions on your labels, for example, might solve some of the not only just within English but between the language definitions. There may be some cultures which feel basics isn't where they should be looking for anything, and others that will want to go there all the time. So that's probably just a bit of a tweaking, but I think a little bit of market research and you'll get all of that right. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. And we certainly, the at-large community has been drivers in helping get ICANN to explain itself in language humans can understand. So I'm especially pleased to hear that you like this approach, because I admire yours.
Thank you so much. Now, this is all looking good, and you'll get a heap of feedback in Seoul. I don't think you're going to... You probably need to have some, orange juice on the booth, because I doubt you're going to get a moment to even have a bite of sandwich. It should be good.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Everybody dropped off.
Stop recording the meeting.
Very nice job, Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling the Digital Replay Service.